I'd like to call the order of the regular meeting of Unalaska City Council to order at 5:59 p.m. Tuesday, July 11th, 2023. I'll ask Councilman Sherry Coleman to read our mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Okay, thank you. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Certainly. I'm going to wait. Okay, Mr. Bell's unmuted. All right, Tom Bell?
Present.
Sherry Coleman? Here. Janine Luby?
Here.
Darren Nicholson?
Here.
Dennis Robinson?
Present.
Alejandro Tungo?
Here.
And Vince Tudyakov?
Here. We do have a quorum. As we do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Welcome to the visitors in the chambers and those online, telephone or Zoom. This time I would go to item five, awards and presentation. City employee anniversary. At this time, we recognize 15-year employment anniversary of Mary Lou Batista. Mary Lou isn't present with us this evening, but we want to publicly acknowledge her anniversary anyway. Mary Lou started in administration in 2008 and still works there today. Everyone who works with her appreciates her professionalism, knowledge, skill, and dedication. She is a highly valued member of staff, both the city council and her co-workers. Thank you for your service. Thank you very much. This time I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda.
I make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson and seconded by Councilman Robinson. Is there any objections to the agenda? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the June 27th meeting.
Make a motion to approve the June 27th, 2023 proposed minutes.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson and seconded by Councilman Nicholson to approve the June 27th minutes. Are there any objection from council? Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Item 8, city manager's report. I'll turn this over to the city manager.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Mayor and councilman. You'll see in my report, there's a few interesting items. The Captain's Bay Road grant that we applied for, 2023 RAISE grants. The award announcements have been made and we were not one of the winning projects. And the good news that happened, the unexploded ordnance really wasn't an ordnance. It was some sort of old car part. So we don't have to defuse that. We are working on the legislative fly-in. And that agenda and the guest list is currently scheduled for August 17th and 18th. Trilateral work is ongoing on a couple of different things. One is trying to work on the opportunity for coordinating some disposal of abandoned vehicles off the island and other metals with the advent of some barges that are coming with nothing scheduled for the backhaul yet. I met with Trident last week just to kind of discuss where they're at with their project. We had a good successful fireworks, even though it was a one-day delay. I was glad it didn't go on to other days. And then probably the biggest announcement I'd like to make is your new assistant city manager just signed a deal and she's sitting to my left. So I'd like you to welcome Margie Veter as your new assistant city manager.
Hey, congratulations, Margie.
Congratulations.
She's still the clerk and she's still the planning director and she, never mind. It's going to be good.
Yeah, well, thank you. And congratulations, Margie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right. The next item, what's that?
Question?
Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question for the city manager. I was kind of wondering what's up with the landfill. Been noticing a lot of trash being piled up the last couple of weeks, so I was hoping to hope you could.
The baler was not operational, and I believe that the crew out there has gotten the parts that they need and has made the repairs, and it's fully functional, I believe. I think Steve is here if he has anything else to add to that, but I was notified yesterday that they're working to clear it out.
Is follow-up, is this something that, I mean, just typical repairs or preventative maintenance was lacking? I mean, not lacking, but I mean, like, this was just a regular, or is this something, an upgrade we're going to have to be looking at in the future to meet our needs?
My gut tells me is we're going to have to program for a new one at some point, since it is a 10-year CMMP, but I'll invite Mr. Tompkins to come up and answer your specific questions, Steve.
Hi, Mr. Mayor, Council, and Member Coleman. Mostly it was routine maintenance that we had the pressure rod taken out and brought over to HydroPro to have a new seal set put on. They didn't have the right seal set in stock, so it added a little bit of time to it. We also added some new parts to the floor, some guide rods for the pusher. Those are the major components. We also took, they had kind of done an imperfect repair where they had welded a chrome rod essentially to a base plate, and that's just never going to work. And so we actually, Steve Vanderventer fabricated a sleeve and a plate, and it's bolted, and so it's an improvement. The baler is working. They worked, I bet they did 50 bales today. So yeah, they're going hard at it. I know it's not a good time for anybody, and Bill asked me, what happens if we can't fix the baler? And I said, well, we go back to direct bury and running it over with a bulldozer like we used to. But no, it's working. It's working good. It's working better than it has in a long time. So they got they took 35 cans, dumpsters in today. And then they also got some of the backlog done. So I think they maybe another day or two will be all caught up with the bare floor.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. I think that is something that we probably need to get on our radar as far as replacing, because by the time that rolls around, I mean, that thing has been down every once in a while. Some foreign object will get in through and take that thing down, like one of those big Hauser pieces of tie-up line, for instance, goes down in there and it raises heck with it. So this is something that I think we probably need to get on our radar and start looking at pretty seriously.
And then pre-sorting. I mean, last time the baler got taken down, it was by a piece of metal about this long. Metal in loads is horrible. Yeah. And I think all the maintenance in the world wouldn't have stopped it. It was just got in there just right and took it offline.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I just have a question about Captain's Bay Road grant. So by being denied that, what does that do to our project?
Oh, it's not the only grant in the hopper. So, and I think we were awarded last year the $3.5 million for some of the water work, and we're just getting those funds and signing agreements for that. So there's still opportunity there. And we're still, that's our number one priority until I'm told otherwise. So that's one of the things we're looking at for the legislative fly-in. We'll drive folks down there and show them, you know, what's been done since last time. They were here 2 years ago. Of course, there's a big project down there now, busier than ever. And we had a couple almost run-ins last time with top picks, not just sheer luck. I mean, it made it look the danger that you hear about. But really rely on our team down at the Public Utilities and Works, you know, some of the work they've been doing and putting in for the applications. And then, of course, we have some trilateral partners that are also putting in applications for some of the other ancillary things or things that are connected to geothermal and that would help the grid as well. So there's still a lot of attention. Just we would have liked to have had a win on that particular grant, and we didn't. So.
Okay, thanks. I was just curious if it affected it in it at all. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Tuggle.
So with that said, on the Captain's Bay Road, are we still on track on the pace one for next year?
On the pace for?
Or pace, whatever pace one, unless we are doing something.
Well, the timeline has changed somewhat based, at least when we actually have the whole grid down there, if you will, service to Trident. They issued a new timeline to us. but aside from our paving and our utility extensions, I mean, we're on basically the timeline that we initially advertised with all of you, trying to get our utilities extended with water and sewer. The question is where and how we'll pay for it. Some ideas about that, but then we're still getting hopefully money from the state or some other grants. But we're coming closer to a point where we have to sit down and figure out, based on what we have in hand, what we can really do and program. And anything in excess of that, if indeed it's something that others want that we can't provide, then how will they do it themselves? So there's everything in between and then those two extremes. I don't know if that answers your question, but I'm just saying it's still a live project, but there's still a lot of moving parts and there's too many variables to really come up with an answer right now.
Yeah, so we did this in by phase. Yeah, by
phase. Sorry, I missed that word. Yeah.
We do it by phase, and we're not gathering the whole amount at one time.
Right.
So the phase, whatever phase four or phase one, we got to spend a certain amount of money. So is that something we're still doing on the
street? I believe we're still on pace for that phase.
That's my question. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. We also have our congressional delegation that has put in for a, what do they call those earmarks anymore?
Directed, congressionally directed.
Right. So we haven't heard, and we should be hearing on that soon too, whether they get that in there. So I have faith in our congressional delegation about slipping that in there.
Okay. Any further questions for city manager? All right. Thank you, Bill. Next. Next. Community input and announcement. This time for members of the public to provide information to council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Thank you.
Good evening, Catherine McGlashan, Unalaska Visitors Bureau. So last Saturday, we had the Hanseatic Nature with 230 passengers that arrived. And we have the Roald Edmondson that's arriving Friday with 220 passengers. And also the Tustamina arrives on Saturday. And then we have two more cruise ships at the end of the month. So kind of busy for the Visitors Bureau. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Good to hear. Back on the roll. Next.
Good evening, Albert Burnham, representing PCR. A few things here. First is to say thank you to everyone who entered a float in the 4th of July parade. It was a good parade and a great day. And then also special thanks to KUCB for doing the live broadcast and live commentary and live stream. And also to the Lions Club for doing their annual cleanup over the parade route and getting all the leftover candy and wrappers and stuff picked up. As far as programs go, this Saturday we have the Ballyhoo Run at 6 o'clock. The weather's looking pretty good, so hopefully we'll have another safe, fun, I don't know how fun that is, but we'll have a safe run up that mountain. And for those that enjoy it, you can come out for that. We also have Camp Agayu registration open. Little change from past years. This year, we're going to do it after Camp Q. That's a camp for Students in grades 1 through 3 that aren't quite old enough for Camp Q, they can come out. And Sharon Sparney Livingston teaches that for us and goes over a lot of fun stuff with those kids, history of the island, native plants, and all those sorts of things. And then last thing, we're in full swing planning for HOA on Saturday, August 19th. Vendor registration is open. Those things fill up pretty quick, and we're maxed out as far as tent space and table space and everything. So once those tables are gone, those tables are gone. So if anybody's interested in being a vendor, that'd be a good thing to get signed up as soon as possible. And then lastly, just a reminder to, if you have a smartphone, download PCR's app, PCR on Alaska, and check out our webpage on alaskapcr.com for all of the newest and greatest things that we've got going on. Thank you.
Also, that Coast Guard helicopter that did a flyover, that was pretty cool. First time that ever happened.
I think it was the second. I thought it was the first two, but apparently I was just gone the year that they did it. So yeah, that was, we've been trying to get those kind of things to happen. And when it does, it's pretty great. So yeah.
Hi, good evening, Mayor, Council. Thomas Rufos, President of the Alaska State Firefighters Association and Alaska Chapter. I'm announcing that we have the tickets for the gun raffle for Thanksgiving this year. They're $50 a piece. Come find one of your local firefighters and we'll have tickets for you to sell or for you to purchase. Thanks.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council. Natalie Kale from the Unalashka Corporation. I believe the last update that the council received from OCCP in person was when AEA and ADA were in Unalaska. That trip did occur. AEA and ADA were out here. We're still working on the $5 million and the $25 million loan. But the other kind of big announcement is that OCCP was invited by DOE to submit the Part 2 application for the tribal energy loan. And on July 31st, 1st, and 2nd, currently those are the dates. We don't have, it's not confirmed, but it's looking like those are the dates. DOE, the LPO office from DOE from Washington, D.C., will actually be coming to Unalaska, meeting with OC, going out to the site, both helicopter and then at the camp, meeting with the city, meeting with the tribe, meeting with Trident, and then any other community support that we'd like to introduce them to. So I have been in contact with the city manager and keeping him informed. And once I get concrete dates, we'll certainly make sure that the city is well aware. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Natalie. Camp Q itself starts on August 30th and runs to, July 30th to August 5th. So that's getting started. Yep. As of this morning, I don't see her. As of noon today, there's 72 kids in the class this year. And we have 22 mentors that'll be working the camp out there this year. So we're moving right ahead on it. So we'll start putting the tents up on the 26th. Anybody that feels strong and healthy, come on out and give us a hand. Yeah, Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. We had the council, NORAD was due to fly in here today with a three-star general, basically the command of the North Pacific. But the weather kept them out, and they're working hard on trying to reschedule. And I've also in the process of inviting Rear Admiral Caputo out with the Navy to take a look at our fine community. And hopefully the weather will cooperate. So thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any further announcements from community or council?
Mr. Mayor, I do have a couple of announcements if you would let me make those, please. All right, so our local general election is gonna be on Tuesday, October 3rd. The candidacy period will open July 20th and run through August 21st. The seats on the ballot, which are all three-year terms except as school board seat C, which is on the ballot due to a vacancy. So council seat B will be on the ballot, which is presently held by Tom Bell. Council seat E, presently held by Mr. Robinson. School board seat B, presently held by Jolene Longo. School board seat E, presently held by Daniel Williams. And then school board seat C, which is the vacancy was created by the resignation of Bob Cummings. And so that term will be just to fill the remainder of the original term. So for 2 years expiring in October 2025. So qualifications, if you are interested in running for council, you have to be a qualified voter in the city. That means you're registered to vote at an address in Unalaska, and you have to have resided here for an entire year consecutively, 12 months before your declaration of candidacy. It's the same for school board, except that residency term is just 30 days. And then if you're not registered to vote, in order to vote in this election on October 3rd, you have to be registered no later than September 2. And then my second announcement is about property taxes. The bills were mailed the last week of June. If you own property here and you didn't get your bill, please contact me in the clerk's department so we can get that to you in a time. And then the first half payment is going to be due August 21st and the second half payment due October 20th. If you have any questions about property taxes, give me a call. Thanks.
Great, thank you. Any further questions? Anyone on Zoom or telephone for community input?
No one has their hand raised, sir.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. Next is a public comment on agenda items. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. They don't want to wait until the item comes up for regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, use a microphone, state your name, and you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Hello, and thank you. My name is Jester Perdeman. I am the Chief Technology Officer for Optumera. I started my first internet provider in 1996 when I was 17 years old, and I've been delivering internet to users for the better part of 30 years. I'm also a licensed professional engineer in the states of Alaska and Washington. I'm here to talk about the scoring of bids for the City of Unalaska internet access proposal before you. I believe the scoring requires additional evaluation. Let's start with suitability. The scoring sheet states that the LEO satellite service type is less preferred to fiber optic service. This misrepresents the proposal that we provided to the city. If you refer to page 8, the network diagram of our submittal, you will see that we proposed both a redundant connection through the GCI fiber network and a connection through a carrier grade multi-gigabit Ka band solution off island. Although we provided these facts, they were omitted from the documentation that I saw for your council meeting. I would just like to say that once you have fiber, you become spoiled for data. Things move to the cloud. Having it taken away by CI scour or an errant anchor dragging can be crippling to a community. I think that fiber is great when you have it, but it's important to have a plan for when you don't have it. The people living throughout the north end of this state are getting a very clear example of that due to the Quintillion fiber break. I would also say a redundant connection isn't redundant if it cannot support the networks that are using it. On this grounds, we believe that our solution was the most suitable and maybe the only suitable solution that you received or proposal that you received. I would also like to talk with regard to experience and qualifications. To date, Optumera's network has never gone down for more than a day. Our network has survived blizzards and hurricane force winds. At one point, there was a wildfire that took out several fiber lines in Washington State, and we bounced back within a few hours every time. And that's because of our dedication, our planning, our investment, and our qualifications. And on the subject of qualifications, Optumera's network was designed and built by its founder, Emmett Fitch, Matt Scott, a licensed electrical admin with over 20 years of experience, and myself. We are backed up now by 5 electricians, 2 network engineers, a network admin, dedicated developer, and nearly a dozen support and operations personnel. Emmett Fitch's vision and our experience and qualifications changed the internet on this island 8 years ago, and it will continue to change it into the future. We know how to build critical facilities and do it right. And we know how to change the future in positive ways. So, although smaller, certainly, we are well qualified and experienced, and we have a track record of reliable service. On these grounds, I dispute the scoring of our experience and qualifications. And respectfully, Council, I believe you owe it to yourselves to look at the proposals yourself and ask some questions about what the basis and metrics and standards were used when they were when this was scored. I'm always available for questions. Let me know if you have any. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Any questions, comments? Thank you very much. Anyone else? Public comment on the agenda items? Okay. Well, thank you for your comments. Does anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No one has their hand raised, sir.
None on there. Okay. Move to the next item on our agenda. Next item is a work session. May I have a motion and a second to go into work session, please?
I make a motion to go into a work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Robinson. Is there any objection from the council? Hearing no objection, we are in work session at 6:27 p.m.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, it's a slow news week, so I volunteer to talk about water. These are some actual important stuff, just kind of a few things kind of lumped together. It's just a really good time to talk about it. Next slide. We want to talk about PFAS in the news because the USGS just released a study on July 6th that said that 45% of all water sources in the United States show at least one PFAS. And we want to talk about PFAS in Alaska because December of 2021, I believe we tested for PFAS at all our sources. And we want to talk about the Unalaska CCR and give you an update on the chlorine upgrade project. So next slide. I apologize for the slides. They're not really that fun, but there's just a lot of information. PFAS, I'm sure you all know, it stands for per- and polyfluoral alkyl substances, which is a group of 4,700 synthetic chemicals. Some say between 4,000 and 6,000. We don't even really know how many there are. They're generally regarded to be harmful to human health and the environment. PFAS are known as the forever chemicals that you read because they don't naturally break down in the environment. So that's environmental persistence, and they build up in our bodies over time. And that's bioaccumulation. That's the study I was talking about on July 6th that they released a study saying that one PFAS could be detected in about 45% of the US drinking water. And then the other two are just saying that 19.2% of tap water samples were actually over the proposed limit for the EPA for one and 11.5 on a different PFAS. So next slide. Just a really quick regulatory background. We started making PFASs back in the 1930s, but we started being concerned about them really not until fairly recently. They started regulating PFAS in 2009, and then they kind of looked at it in the water from 2013 to 2015. And finally in 2016, they decided that a good maximum contaminant level was 70 parts per trillion. There was some pushback from some states, I think Vermont, California, 8 or 9 states that just said that we think that's too high. And so they set a level of 20 parts per trillion. This year, the EPA is proposing a maximum contaminant level of 4 parts per trillion. So where does it come from? I think we've kind of all seen this nonstick cookware, fast food packaging, the stuff that keeps the grease from going through the paper, water-resistant clothing, stain-resistant carpeting and furniture, paints, cosmetics, pesticides, and our favorite, aqueous film forming foam, Ben. AFFF. It is glorious stuff. Not only does it put out petrochemical fires, but it keeps it from reigniting by forming a film over it. So the military started using AFFF in 1960. Can you, anybody guess when the military stopped using AFFF? Next slide. That's a trick question. They're still using it. So they have to stop buying it this year, and then they have to phase it out starting next year. Next slide. So in the year 2000, manufacturers just kind of stopped using it as much. The writing was kind of on the wall that it just wasn't really a good idea. These are actually blood levels in humans on different PFAS. And you can see that because manufacturers stopped using them so much, we had a pretty good decline in PFAS levels within human blood. I don't have anything more current than that, but that's what I'm saying. Slide. So PFAS in Unalaska. So in December of 2021, we tested all of our water sources. We tested well 1A, well 2, well 3, and our source water, basically Pyramid Water Treatment Plant. This was done at my direction, and I'd like to really claim credit for being way ahead of the curve. But this year, EPS is requiring it under UCMR5. So 3,500 water systems are monitoring for 29 different PFAS. We are one of those 3,500. So we're monitoring every year. And then a total of 10,500 water systems will be participating by the end of 2025. So we are a little bit ahead of the curve, a little proactive. So when we tested, well, 1A was fine, well, 3 was fine, and all our surface water was fine. Well, 2, for those of you that aren't an Alaska water system geeks, is the one that's across from the tribe. So that one showed a result of 1.25, and I'm gonna unpack that a little bit because test results are available if anybody wants to copy the whole thing, and the consumer confidence report is available if anybody wants to copy the whole thing. So can you go back? 1.25 is the result, and you see that J. The J means that that's an estimated concentration because the detection limit for PFAS is 0.547. And the limit where they can actually tell with a fairly good degree of accuracy that it's actually there is 1.92. So this is just kind of a guess. So it gives you an idea that's a very low concentration. Okay. So what does that mean for us? As you know, we really want to run Pyramid. We try to run Pyramid as much as we can. It just makes more sense to use gravity for our water as opposed to sucking it out of the ground. This is a very low level of 1.25, and you can see that EPA, currently it's 70, but it's going to become 4. At 70, it looks really low. At 4, it doesn't look quite so low, but it's still, you know, well under the action level. And I just wanted to mention that if we would have taken the test at the tap with all 3 wells running and it's blended and it comes out the tap, it wouldn't have been detected at all because the other two wells showed no non-detect. So I guess when possible, we can minimize the operation of the well, but and we probably will operationally when we can. But really, we just want to use Pyramid for as much of our water as we can. Next slide. So the Water Division releases a consumer confidence report every year. And this is, there's a couple things in the 2022 release, and I think there's copies available here of the whole report. You should have received them You should have received one if you have a water meter. You should have received from the water department. And the one that caught my eye was on page 2, under violations, enforcement, and compliance, and it talks about missing samples. So what happened was we had 2 samples scheduled for May 31st, and they didn't take them until June 1st. And so there was only 8 samples taken in the month of May, and that put us out of compliance. I have a letter from the ADEC that's saying the following month we were back in compliance. But I just wanted to explain kind of what happened there. Next slide. The other thing that's been catching my eye in previous years and still is copper. You can see that our level of copper was 1030. The action level is 1300. 2 out of 20 sample points actually exceeded the action level. And when you kind of look on typical source of substance, the primary one is corrosion of household plumbing systems. And so just hold that for a second and go to the next slide. That brings us to the water treatment plant chlorine upgrade. One of the primary reasons we did that is because it's supposed to make our water less corrosive. It's supposed to raise, right now we're slightly acidic, it's going to raise it more to neutral. And this is hopefully going to help our copper numbers so that we don't have to do something, some kind of extreme remediation. Besides that, it's much, much, much safer than chlorine gas. Some people, and I don't know if it's because in my head, because some people are telling me, but have noticed a difference in their water. So it's been online since May 27th. And like maybe your soap suds a little more, because it essentially is just a giant water softener. And so some people have noticed a little bit of difference in their water. Next slide. This is just giving you a look at it. If anybody hasn't been up there, anybody that wants to go up and tour is welcome to get a hold of us and we'll bring you up there. On the left-hand side is the way it is now. And on the right-hand side is the way it was with the chlorine gas. So looking at the picture on the left, along the left wall, those are the chlorine generators. And then you see the front 2 tanks are brine tanks that just basically have water softener salt in them. And then the rear 2 tanks are sodium hypochlorite solution that's ready to be dosed. So this takes 3 pounds of salt and 2 kilowatt hours of electricity. And that's equal to 1 pound of chlorine gas, essentially, in terms of dosing. We thought it was going to be a little bit more expensive, but we're getting a better deal on salt. So I think it's probably roughly equivalent operationally, much safer, hopefully less corrosive, and better all the way around. Next slide. This is just looking south. It's really the same thing, a couple different views. If anybody wants to go up and take a look at it, just get a hold of us or get a hold of me or Mackenzie in the water department. And we'll bring you up there and show you around. Slide. That's all I got. So we have copies of the Consumer Confidence Report for those that didn't get one. I think they're out front. I just wanted to be, you know, completely transparent about our PFAS. I mean, that's serious stuff. It's a very, very low level. We volunteered to test and now we're required to test. It was good to volunteer to test and know what we're going to get on our mandatory test. And so I promise you that I will keep everybody up to date on that. That's all I got. Does anybody have any questions?
Well, thank you. Austin Coleman and Robinson.
So well, number 2.
Well, number 2.
So I'm not sure. Yeah. So source tracking on that, any, since it's the only well that seems to be coming up with detectable amounts, any thoughts about where the contaminants could be leaching into the system there? Or? it's just the location, or maybe it was, I don't know.
I don't know. I was hoping Vince would tell us. But I mean, but you know, you look at the kind of stuff that puts it in there. It's you know, paint, things like that. I don't think it's the foam because they didn't start using it until the 60s, but it's kind of a short list really of possibles, but as you know, the military that's out in the valley, they just buried anything. And if we have any kind of change in that, you know, we're gonna have to take a look at it for sure. I just want everybody to know that when we're running the wells, we're usually running all three, and coming out of the tap, you're talking about an extremely undetectable level. But as you can see, the EPA in 2016 said 70 is safe, and now in 2023 they're saying no, I think four is the number. So essentially they're saying that none is what we want. So and that's what we want, so we're going to keep an eye on it.
Right. Thank you, Councilman Robinson.
Yes, the question I was going to ask, is it possible that it's some of the equipment in that well that could be providing that 1.25?
I don't think so. I know what you're saying. Okay. But that's an interesting thought. I'll noodle that around.
So, yeah, and the other thing is, you said you're going to keep an eye on it, and not only keep an eye on the testing and all that stuff, but like the problem we ran into with our sewer years ago is, during the permitting, somebody wasn't paying attention to the numbers from DEC, and they transposed some numbers, and that's why we had to do what we had to do. So, important to keep the pencil sharpened on the permits and make sure they're right.
Yeah, thank you. Councilman Tungle.
On the copper, you said that we got a couple that reaches the 1300 on the copper.
Yeah, 1300 is the action level, and I can't tell you exactly what we have to do at that action level. It kind of varies by what the contaminant is. It might just be monitored more frequently. There'll be some kind of things that have to happen, but as you can see, we're creeping up on it. And it's because our the pH of our water is acidic. And that's usually what causes that copper is just the decay of copper lines. And so we're hoping, and it should, by going to what we have now for a water softener, basically sodium hypochlorite solution, that it should raise the pH of the water and be less corrosive, and maybe we can get back into a. I was noticing because I'm looking at the pH, and I thought I was seeing it decrease. It's on a logarithmic scale, so a change from 5 to 6 is actually a 10 times change, but apparently there's some kind of seasonal variation in our pH. I got corrected by the water department, so that's what happens when the amateurs, you know, mix around in the numbers. But we're going to keep a close eye. I'm really trying to hope that I see a change in the pH. We test pH all the time, so I'm wanting to see a nice rise in the pH.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. Anyone else? Comments from council? Questions for Tom? All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
Make a motion to come out of executive or out of work session into a regular session.
Anyone on Zoom or telephone?
Nobody has their hands up, sir.
All right, thank you. Now you can, Councilman Robinson.
I'll make a motion to come out of the work session into a regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. Is there any objection to go in the regular session? Hearing no objections, we're back in the regular session at 6:44. Thank you, PM. Back in regular session. The next item on our agenda is the regular agenda items. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda items may sign up with the city clerk. Has anyone signed up to speak?
No, they haven't, sir.
Thank you. What we have is resolution 2023-32, authorizing the city manager to enter into a 5-year master service agreement with GCI Communication Corp. for dedicated internet services. May I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2023-32?
I move to adopt resolution 2023-32.
Moved by Councilman Tungo.
I'll second.
Seconded by Councilman Luby. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. So this is the result of once fiber had come to the island, and then our existing contract that we had with Telalaska, now Fastwire, they had a very small window of opportunity to give us a quote for fiber services. And they weren't able to do that. So we went ahead and prepared an RFP, and sent those out. We received three. Our finance department and IS reviewed those, and the recommendation in front of you is to go with GCI for a 5-year contract. I'd just like to point out that this is probably the first time you're seeing one of these. It came across my desk, I was ready to sign, and it hit me. We always take longer contracts to council. We looked, hadn't been coming here. I don't know exactly why or what happened. So this is really like probably something new that you haven't seen before, and welcome to discussion. So
thank you. Councilman Robinson and Tungo.
Yes, thank you for doing that. Anytime we bind the city for, I think it's more than $50,000, it needs to come to the council, and I appreciate you catching that and making that happen. Now, speaking to the resolution, first and foremost, I probably need to tell the public that I do not own any part or anything in Optimera, nor do I get anything back from them. I pay my bills. And I have good internet service that they've been providing for a good long time. Now, that said, one of the things since 1986, when I first got on this council, and one of the primary goals of mine was to seek out and favor local companies that are companies on this island. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not in favor of this resolution. I think it's wrong for us to send more than $300,000 to, over what the next bid was going to be, to a firm that is outside a bunch of investors that don't know how to provide internet, especially wireless. That's proven. Anywhere you go in the state of Alaska, you'll hear people hate GCI, but that's what they're stuck with. I'm not stuck with them. I don't give them any of my money. So and that said, you heard it a little bit earlier by Jester that all the eggs in GCI's basket are in that fiber. Now, it was due to go live in December, but guess what happened? An anchor took it and took it out. So they weren't probably until mid-January or late January before I heard that people were actually getting hooked up to it and going. Well, that same thing happened up in North with Quintillion's fiber. The ice took it out. And is GCI up there providing connectivity to that, whether it's wireless or any way in about it? No. Is AT&T? No. Is Alaska? No. But guess who's up there right now hooking the state of Alaska up in not only Utqiagvik, but in Kotzebue, Nome, and Bethel. But that's Optimera. They're providing a state to have, getting that state back online, because God knows when that fiber is going to get fixed or repaired. And that's very thing is going to happen here. You know, it's just a matter of time. And there is no redundancy for Optumera. I mean, for with GCI, I'm sorry. But the only, and I've reviewed the three proposals, the redundancy may be there. They speak, might mention it, but that's probably through the old, prior to them having fiber, everybody knows how well their internet worked. In fact, you didn't buy it because it didn't. You know, Optumera has provided a majority of the bandwidth on this island for a great number of years. You know, they've been here for 18, and many of those years, they provided more bandwidth to this community than GCI and Telalaska put together. Many of those years, far outnumbered it. So their experience is there. I disagree with the what was put in the memo. And I mean, I can't support sending this money, our tax dollars, out of this state. So wherever I go in this state, I've always been a proponent of saying if we're going to build an economy in this state, in this community, even, we have to keep the money home. That's the only way to build that economy. Otherwise, we're just shipping it south. And I'm really tired of Alaska being a mass extraction state. And I'm going to be voting in opposition to this resolution tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Tungo.
I want to see local too at the same providing for this community. But at the same time, we waited for how many years to get this kind of service that we were wanted for a long time. We've done exercise, we got joint exercise all over. And the main problem is communication, internet, to be able to connect all over outside Alaska or outside this community. And GCI right now is providing that. And I think I might not agree with 5 years on this proposal. Is there any, is the 5 years something got to do to get the rate that we're paying?
Yeah, once the team selected the provider, I requested they go and see, based on a 5-year contract, can we get it cheaper? So I believe that the rate in here is based on a 5-year rate.
Thank you. I was hoping if we can lower it down to 2 to 3 years until we get something, but I think this bus connection is long overdue that we've been waiting for. And with the staff work on this, I think I might go with this and vote the way they recommend it. I think it's time to move forward. And I want to ask Jake, our IT, what do you think about it, if we can.
Well, I'm happy to have Jake come up. I want to make sure we have a direct question for him to answer. So whether or not we have to go with a 5-year or a year to year, is that what your question is?
No, I got another question.
Another question.
Yeah. Well, with what we got now, what is the comparison if we go to the fiber optic?
Hey, would you approach the guidance, please? And while he's doing that, I have to, you know, like so many people here, plead the fifth. I mean, when we get into just like the water discussion, how many microns and particles per million and all that, I have to rely on the folks that we have on our team to help advise me. I get lost when I start hearing about, I use this word gigabytes all the time, because that's just, it might as well be anything. You know, at some point you have to trust that who you're talking to and you're going to get what you get. And this is one of these things of like buying a diamond. Do you really know what you're looking for? Ended up with a piece of glass. So with that, Jake.
Yes, Jake Whitaker, Information Systems Supervisor. If I understood your question correctly about like what are we getting more from what we currently have, the current proposal is for a 90 megabit connection. We currently have a 30 megabit connection, so it'll be three times faster in terms of overall bandwidth, and the latency will be 10 times better. And so in other words, the delay, which is obviously when you would make a phone call, there's a delay between your interaction, whether it's FaceTime or a handheld, whatever. This will reduce that, and it'll seem like you're in the same room. So it'll greatly enhance on both of those fronts.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Any further comments? Question? Councilman Luby?
So I guess I kind of feel like maybe the question, or you know, the scoring maybe wasn't done extensively enough, maybe, that maybe there could be more to it. I'm wondering what does the 40, the 30, and the 50 first stop? Is that like when you're scoring everybody with a 3, 4, 5, and a 0 behind it? Or where did those numbers come from? That would be my first question.
So in the scoring, yes, we just picked a number that we would use for, to range from 0% to 100%. And then we had two scoring categories. However, we had kinds of service offered, so fiber optic by fast wire and fiber optic by a combination where they had fiber as backup, and then they had lower absorbing technology as primary. So at that point, we had to figure out how to quantify that, or so that reflect that in scoring. So that's where we put it in the experience qualifications column. Not that the service is bad or anything, but it's when you compare fiber optic service to low Earth orbiting satellite, a cable connection is always typically preferable to a wireless connected satellite service. Even Starlink service, which is the backhaul that they're using, is less preferable. It's better than what we've had for many, many years, but when you have the two compared, we tried to reflect the best we could within the parameters we had of scoring. So,
okay. And so, with the, so you just said that, Optumerid, they have a backup with the fiber. And so if there was any issues with Starlink, they would switch to, the fiber. Is that correct?
Yes. That's my understanding as well.
Okay. So to me, that seems like that would be pretty comparable. I mean, two ways versus one way, to provide service. So I kind of feel like maybe that part of it might have been underscored there. And so how did you determine the rest of the experience and qualifications?
As far as we were concerned, they were matched in terms of with GCI, in terms of experience qualifications as it relates to their ability to provide the service they quoted us for. That wasn't under question or disagreement on our part. As we discussed the subject, it had only everything to do with comparing the types of service, like type of technology. So their primary come from lower, which is fundamentally, in most cases, an inferior technology. It's not a bad technology, but when you're comparing it to fiber optics, you all of a sudden have snow, rain, weather all of a sudden is a factor for connectivity. And so that's what we took into consideration. And that was generally what steered us toward GCI, because then they ended up being GCI was the cheaper between Fastwire, the two fiber optic offering bids.
Okay. And then, sorry, one other question would be, so you said you scored them basically equally on their experience. But this is GCI's first time coming into Unalaska with the internet. So how did you determine their experience?
GCI has actually been here for decades. We actually had them when I first started 15 years ago here at the city. And so we had there as a satellite provider then. And then they provided to the community for a number of years, known through Alaska Wireless, because they owned Alaska Wireless. And so we've had them as a provider before. They have experience throughout the state, so we just didn't see a reason to score one higher or the other, and that as it relates to their ability to provide service.
Okay. I was not aware that they even had internet on the island. You know, I know they had cell phones and stuff, but so I have a problem with the way that it's scored. And I also think that, you know, there should be a little bit of weight. I'm an opponent of local businesses myself. We have a lot of small businesses on this island that I think that the city should support. They support us and they support the community. And I think there should be a little bit of weight put on that as well. And it's not just for internet service. This goes for much more. But anyway, for $60,000, that's a lot a year. That's one full-time employee, pretty much, I think, that you could pay for. So that's a lot of money. And then what happens? Is it unlimited, or are we going to have overages? How's that going to work?
So the scoring was done on 1 year, because that was what we asked for in terms of the proposal. And so we scored on that. So with a 5-year contract, GCI actually comes in less than the other bids do. So that's to take into consideration. And then what was your last question there? Sorry. Just repeat it.
Yeah. I forgot.
Sorry. I'm kind of a goldfish.
It just totally went.
Oh, data caps. Sorry. I can't remember now. Okay. Yeah, data caps. You were asking about, is it unlimited?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
All bids offered unlimited dedicated service. Yep.
Okay. So there are no overages on
any. Correct. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think that pretty much answers all the questions I have right now. I'm not super happy with the way it was scored, though. So anyway, I'll let someone else talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Coleman.
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion to postpone resolution 2022-32 to the next regular session.
I'll second that.
What was the motion?
To postpone.
To postpone until the next regular session.
Yeah, moved by Councilman Coleman to postpone to the next regular session, seconded by Councilman Robinson. Discussion.
Yes, thank you. So I'm hearing conflicting things based off what I'm seeing on paper here. And I'm going to go. So normally when you see bids come in, because this one is going out to not the lowest bidder, and it is basically scored, it goes back to what's experience and qualifications. I have seen nothing here that compares and is able to support that either empirically or in literature that says why the experience and qualifications is such, the turning point here. It was just stated that it's not experience and qualifications, but it's more deliverable service. So that, again, is not mentioned in here. And if that is the sole reason, I think, that should have been very clearly stated. And it probably should have been stated in the request. So I guess I feel like, what Councilmember Luby was addressing is that this doesn't, what is available to us here and what's been said and what we've had doesn't really support, justify, I guess I should say, the need to award the contract to GCI. So I guess I need a lot more justification and rationale for this written, and some numbers and some figures and some facts, and not just an arbitrary, seems to me, discussion about it. So So I just would like some more information. Thank you.
Sounds like a work session more is what you're asking for from council. Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. I have to agree with council member Coleman. What was provided in the memo and what was on the we provided the council the proposals, there's something wrong there. Not all the information was there, and that is concerning to me. In being able to resolve this, I'm ready to at the end of this meeting give a directive, if I can get support, to the city manager to hire a third party to review the three proposals for broadband services and return a recommendation for said services to this council. I don't trust our internet our service in-house to be able to make a good determination when they're willing to spend $300,000 on not giving all the information over a period of 5 years. I just can't. So if I could get support on that, that's what I would like to do.
Motion is to postpone, not to. Okay, you're talking to a different issue. The motion is to postpone discussion. We don't have any discussion now. Councilman Bell, go with us.
Yes, sir. I would like to make a few points here. Since I missed the discussion on the main motion here, this is still relevant to the motion to postpone, is looking at the different factors that go into this decision. I wrote down in my notes here that we're looking at customer service reliability and a combination of the service that's being provided to us, in other words, through speed, and what that price is going to be, and are we going to receive what we need for that price? Just to get this out of the way, the customer service part of it, I think there needs to be a little more discussion and a broader look at the services that have been provided by these three companies, even outside of internet access. GCI, obviously through phone service, FastWire has been providing our internet service, the city's internet service presently, and various contracts with Optumera and what services they have provided for the city. I don't feel that there was enough information provided in the packet to make an informed decision. So I will support motion to postpone. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have been remiss with actually postponing this stuff so we can look further into this to make sure that we are actually going to get what we need for the city's internet. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Okay, well, for no further discussion, I'll call for a roll call and a motion to postpone to next regular session.
Yes, sir. See, Mr. Bell, I'm going to have you unmute again. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Ruby?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion to postpone is passed to the next regular session, and this time it'll be on the next agenda, August. Since I was going to make an announcement that we have no agenda items in July.
What is that meeting in July?
The 25th.
Pardon? There's presently nothing on the list of items. 25. The council wants to have this in July 25. We could certainly.
We have one item so far. July.
If indeed the directive that I just heard mentioned passes, we probably
the recommendation of Councilman Robinson to do a directive that's going to create another 2 weeks to get a third party view. I'm not trusting on people in house to make these kinds of decisions. Most of them are very good, but information is what we're more information is needed. And like that information has been presented and discussed by the officer and GCI. So I would recommend this next come up on the agenda in August to get the information needed for roll call has been submitted and passed. We are postponed this agenda item to August meeting, regular meeting.
So just for some clarification on a motion to postpone, it must be the next regular meeting. And so it comes into play that the mayor and I spoke this morning and we were kind of planning on not having a meeting on July 25th or the second meeting in July, just because we didn't have any agenda items. And we quite often cancel one meeting in the summertime.
What I'm saying is that Councilman Robinson has proposed to do a directive to the city manager that would create another week to 2 weeks of review by third party. And we would not have that information available by the 25th. Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. Is there anything that is time sensitive or urgent on this bid to go out? Are we going to lose service, or is there anything that's going to expire if this isn't delayed by more than 2 weeks? Decision.
Well, I think the only thing to be aware of is we already issued our notice of cancellation, so we're on a month-to-month at this point with Telaska. I don't know. I can't speak to it. It just seems like it's taking slower. So I don't know if we've been modulated or throttled back, but you know how long we want to continue with that. That's my experience right now for basically the month of June and so far in July. So we can wait. However, if we're going to do this, I almost want to say she disapproved with no prejudice, if that's an option, Margie, because I'm not just going to go hire the first person out of the phone book. And I'm not going to probably use anybody's recommendations. So we're going to be looking at going out to find a very objective third party. It's going to take me more than 2 weeks. I would, if I may, Mayor, I would disagree with the comments and concerns about our staff internally. I wouldn't be a good city manager if I held those kinds of beliefs about the staff. So I would... I hear you, Councilman, but I disagree.
Thanks. Councilman Robinson?
Yes, thank you. We can go ahead and schedule this for the July one. Just as well, we could cancel that if the time comes and we can postpone it or cancel it and move it to the August meeting. That's always an option too.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think if we disapprove it, we could bring it back as long as there's new information. It's not just to hear the same resolution over and over, which is what you're looking for. But I don't know if we're prepared to rule on that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the motion to postpone. That's completely above board, and you guys can do that if you want, without taking a vote on resolution, on the main motion to adopt resolution 32. And when we come back, we'll just be in the same spot we are when we left off today. The motion's still going to be active and on the floor. You can continue discussion and then have a vote on the motion of whether to adopt 32. Or you can vote on it tonight and we can start over again.
Councilman Tongo.
So we pass a motion to postpone it till the next session. We just passed that, right?
Yes, you did.
So we are correct that we
shouldn't vote. You're absolutely correct, Councilmember.
It's already passed. Yes. We voted on it already.
You already adopted the motion. Yes. Postpone.
Okay.
Thanks for reminding me.
But one more word. I think I got. I trust the employee, the city employee, all the way 100%. I I think they're doing a great job. Thank you.
Well, Councilman Robinson, then we'll move on.
Right, and the reason, I mean, the reason for me, or maybe I'll speak to it when I make the motion on the directive. I'll just wait till it comes back, if I get a second.
Okay, thanks. So the motion postponed has passed 6-0. And the motion then is now mute to adopt the resolution. And it will come up at the next meeting as resolution 2023-32. With more information is the only thing. So at this time, what's the count? Further discussion on this resolution? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item, council directives to city manager. We need a motion and a second to make any direction. Thanks,
Mr. Mayor.
Councilman Robinson.
Thank you. I'll make a motion to direct the city manager to hire a third party to review the three proposals for broadband services and return a recommendation for said services to this council. And if I can get a second, I can speak to it.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson to direct the city manager to hire a third party to review the service contracts submitted. Seconded by Councilman Coleman. Well, discussion. Good.
Yes, thank you. The reason I want a third party to do this instead of going right up back out to bid, because the bid process will take a longer period of time, and already those three bids are out there for each individual to review. And I think a third party, it would be a solution. You might run that by our city attorney to see whether it's legal and above board to be able to do that without going back out to bid. But I think that's a fair way to approach it, that doesn't put any one of the proposals in jeopardy. So, and that's why I'd like to see a third party evaluate this.
Okay, thank you. City manager.
I was just going to say it's a shame the flights didn't get in today, because we were going to have two of our attorneys here on site. I wonder what we would talk about at tonight's meeting, so that answered that. But they'll be rescheduled, so I will talk to them tomorrow.
Thank you. Councilman Ruby.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we need to actually get a third party, but I feel like there needs to be more things to work with. I just don't think that it was broad enough, scoring. And I think it needs to be on scoring, if it is about, the service that they provide in the past, just different things to give us something to really evaluate it with, because it's really hard to evaluate different areas because everybody has different things. So I don't think that it's particular.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman and Councilman Duncan.
It was stated in here that this was scored by committee.
But I think it was our finance director and chair.
Thank you.
I don't think we need a third party. I think coming back to us and providing more information. I think it's more sufficient for me to understand about this. I think third party. I mean, we've done a lot of We created a lot of different projects, and we never questioned people who did a great job in putting the percentage in there. We never questioned how they created. They presented to us, and we unconsciously we got questions. We go back to so I think more information will be good, and I don't think third party will be. I don't think we'll be good. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson, Councilman Bell, on the direction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with, you know, possibly no third party, but more information to make sure that everybody's being looked at with the same light towards, you know, we're looking at, you know, apples and apples, nothing, you know, other than, you know, what everybody has. Locally owned businesses as well. That's something that would be nice to keep things in. But yeah, I'm not too sure about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Councilman Bell on the motion for directive.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I understand the intent that Vice Mayor Robinson has with this directive. However, I don't agree that we necessarily need a third party. I think that any information or further information that we can need or would want, we can get through staff. And the motion to postpone, it just gives us a little bit more time to, you know, digest what this or this discussion that we've had and get a little better perspective on what we think of this resolution. So I'm not going to support this directive. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further comment? Councilman Robinson?
Doesn't appear that I have the support for this, so I'm not going to drag it out any further. But if we don't do this route, one of the things that is imperative that we have is redundancy. If a fiber goes out, we still need internet. We cannot be in the same situation as the folks that relied on Quintillion's fiber. And right now, if you go with GCI, that's the same thing. And you will be back to the stationary or the geostationary satellite internet that doesn't work. So.
Thank you. If I may, I don't see the harm being outside on this. I mean, because here right now, what I heard on the center of council is you're looking at it from a pretty broad base of variables that you'd like more information. I don't think, based on some of the concerns, that it would be in our best interest to just go back and read how to rescore it. I almost like that will be, whether you pass this or not, I will consider from outside professionals for my own eyes. It's not something I spend a lot of time on. If it does come up, I'm going to look at that. Of course, I don't want anyone out here or out in the audience to think that there's some sort of a preference going on or a discouragement. And you don't like it. So I think you've already let that horse out of the stall. Do it right, won't suit some outside assistance. I just have no idea how they will do it, etc. Regardless how you vote, some outside.
Thank you, City Manager. I think what we're seeking here is, as listening to the discussion, I hear more information is needed regarding the cost. I don't know what the scoring, how that was done. And by whom? If all those need to be answered at the next regular time. Really don't know going out for a third party review is going to benefit much as Councilman Robinson mentioned. We have three proposals to bid to review, and I think we need more information of why we are today with the selection by management of the city does give us more time, and we are month to month, which doesn't affect our service this time. We go month to month till December anyway. So we'll see how that goes. So I'll call for the motion on the vote on the directive at this time. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Liddy?
No.
Bell?
No.
Nicholson?
No.
Robinson?
Yes.
Dungal?
No.
And Coleman?
Yes.
Roll call vote, it's four nays and two yays, yeses. So the directive to seek a third party review on the bid for services has been voted down. And we will bring up the issue at the next scheduled meeting on the 25th at this time. And so your different things from the council, we will have a council meeting on the 25th. Okay, thank you, Councilman Robinson.
Yeah, just one other thing is the testimony that you gave at the beginning of the meeting, is that available to the public? I'd appreciate it. It would be good information for Mr. Homka and the council. Thank you. The city clerk, and then she'll distribute it to everybody.
Okay, thank you. Okay, are there any further at this time? We're done with the directives, so this is a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. There's 3 minute time on that. On Zoom or telephone. Thank you. Having completed our items on this agenda, we are adjourned 7:28 p.m. Good night, Unalaska.
Good night.